Shriya Kantaha Kantaha Paramapurushaha Kalpataravo Druma Bhumi Shintamani Ganamayi Toyamamritam Kata Ganang Natyang Gamanamapi Vangshi Priyasaki Chidanandang Jyotik Paramapi Tadasvadyamapicha Sayatrakshi Rabdhihi Srabati Surabhi Bhyascha Sumahan Nimeshardhakyo Vavrajati Nahi Yatrabi Samayaha Bhaje Shvetadvipang Tamaham Iha Golokam Iti Yang Vidantas Te Santakshiti Virala Charak Katipaye. I worship that transcendental seat known as Shvetadvipa, where as loving consorts the Lakshmis in their unalloyed spiritual essence practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem, all water is nectar, every word is a song, every gate is a dance, the flute is the favorite attendant, effulgence is full of transcendental bliss, and the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty, where numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk, where there is eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away even for the space of half a moment. That realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. Purport by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. That region which jivas attain by the best performance of their rasa bhajana, though purely transcendental, is by no means devoid of variegatedness. The non-differentiated region is attained by indulging in anger, fear, and delusion. The devotees attain Goloka, the transcendental region above Vaikuntha, according to the quality of rasa of their respective services. In reality, that region is no other than Shvetadvipa, or the White Island, being exceedingly pure. Those who attain the highest rasa in the shape of the realization of pure devotion in this world, viewing the reality of Shvetadvipa in Gokula, Vrindavana, and Navadvipa within this mundane world, designate the same as Goloka. In that transcendental region of Goloka, there are always visible in their supreme beauty all the distinctive entities that are incorporated in the pure cognitive principle, namely, the lover and his beloved ones, trees and creepers, mountains, rivers and forests, water, speech, movement, music of the flute, the sun and the moon, tasted and taste, that is, the unthinkable wonders of the 64 aesthetic arts, milk cows yielding nectarian flow of milk, and transcendental ever-existing time. Descriptions that supply the clue to Goloka are found in various places in the Vedas and in other shastras, and the other shastras such as the Puranas, Tantras, etc. The Chandogya Upanishad says, Bruyad yavan va ayam akashas tavan esha antar hrida akasha ubhe asmin dyava prithivi antar eva samahite Ubhavagnis chavayuscha surya chandramasav ubhav vidyun nakshatrani yach chasyehasti yach chanasti sarvang tad asmin samahitam iti. The sum and substance of it is that all the variegatedness of this mundane world and much more variety over and above the mundane are to be found in Goloka. The variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized, whereas in the mundane world it is not so, and hence productive of weal and woe. The centralized variety of Goloka is unalloyed and full of transcendental cognitive joy. The Vedas and sadhus practicing devotion revealed by the Vedas, by availing the support of their individual cognitional aptitude, actuated by devotion, may have a sight of divine realm, and by the power and grace of Krishna, their tiny cognitive faculty, attaining the quality of infinitude, they are able to be on the level of the plane of enjoyments of Krishna. There is a hidden meaning of the proposition, quote, even the supreme that is also nevertheless the object of enjoyment, unquote, paramapi tad asvadyamapicha. The word Paramapi indicates that Sri Krishna is the only truth absolute in all the transcendental blissful principles. And Tad Asvadyamapi means his object of enjoyment. The glory of Radha's love for Krishna, tasty quality rasa of Krishna that is realized by Radha, and the bliss of which Radha is conscious in the process of such realization, all these threefold bhavas, emotional entities, becoming available for enjoyment by Krishna, he attains his personality of Sri Gaurasundara. It is also this that constitutes the transcendental bliss of the delicious, loving rasa service manifested by Sri Gaurasundara. This also eternally exists only in the self-same Shvetadvipa. Haribo. So that's a lot. Bhaktisiddhanta often says a lot, very densely and very precisely, with sometimes difficult language. So we could talk about a lot of these things. One major thing is that there is a realm that is purely spiritual, that is purely non-dual, that is the absolute platform, the source of all existence, which is variegated. It not only contains all the varieties that we find here in the mundane realm, but even much more so, varieties. So he says, Bhaktisiddhanta says, in the previous verse it was talking about how people meditate on the Supreme Lord under the sway of different moods, like wrath, amorous passion, natural friendly love, delusion, willing service, fear, parental affection, and reverence. And now he's telling us that those who indulge in anger, fear, and delusion, who meditate on the Supreme Lord in that way, that is, the demons like Shishupal and Hiranyakashipu and Kamsa, they don't attain to that fully variegated spiritual world, but they do attain to liberation in a non-differentiated way by merging in the non-differentiated existence, the Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence, the external effulgence of the Lord.
What does that mean, non-differentiated?
Non-differentiated means there's no variety. There's no variety. So the Brahman is just all one thing. And there's no experience of different entities, different relationships, different names, forms, qualities, activities. But rather, there's just experience of eternal existence. We say Sat Chit Ananda. So in Brahman realization, one actually rises above the mundane identification with material energy. But still, one only experiences the aspect of the absolute truth in its feature of eternality. Sat. One doesn't progress beyond that to experience the true knowledge and true bliss that's available in other aspects of realization of the non-dual absolute truth. Brahman is non-different from Krishna, but realization of Krishna and his feature as Bhagavan in a personal relationship is much more complete, much more full of transcendental emotions. Now, it seems logically inconceivable, impossible actually, logically contradictory to discuss a non-dual world that's full of variety. Non-dual means no variety in one sense. And the Upanishads teach in that way for the beginners in spiritual life. Actually, even these great sages who haven't approached Krishna with bhakti are considered by the pure Vaishnavas like Narada Muni to be in the beginning stage of spiritual life. That is their realization of the absolute truth in its non-differentiated aspect. These are described, and we've described them in other parts of the hymn. Lord Brahma is describing the other parts of the hymn. That is, to understand the difference between spirit and matter is not very simple. And so to make it sort of palpable to those who are just coming upon the subject matter, we can say that in the material world, there's different forms and personalities and names and relationships. And these things are temporary and they cause us misery. And so one may say that the spirit is the opposite of that. And it has no variety because it's non-dual. We're talking about non-duality. So an easy way to understand non-duality is just to say, well, it's all one. And it is all one. There's no distinction. There's no I and thou. There's no, I shouldn't say it that way. There's no inside and outside. There's no difference between this body and soul in the spiritual world. Everything is all soul. The way Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says it in this purport is that the variety in the transcendental world is fully centralized, whereas in the mundane world it is not so, and hence productive of weal and woe. Weal means welfare, good, you know, like the common weal is, you know, works for the good of mankind or something. So weal and woe is happiness and distress, is misery and good fortune, good and bad fortune. But he's describing this, the transcendental world is fully centralized, meaning that everything is one there because everyone is completely dedicated to pleasing Krishna. So there isn't any interference pattern. You know, you think about water and drops of pebbles in the water. You know, you see the interference patterns if you drop more than one pebble. Sometimes the two crests reach at the same time and they raise. And this is also there in optics and things. And the scientists look at interference patterns. When there's only one pebble being dropped in one center, everything is concentric and harmonious. The fact is that all living beings are Krishna's anshas. They're his parts and parcels. And their function is to serve Krishna. And it's only in the mundane world when they're not serving Krishna, when they're trying to serve something else, that is their illusory conception of themselves, that there's this conflict and this duality which produces happiness and distress. So in the land, this we're being described here of the land of Krishna, that in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes the mundane world as an upside-down tree. And the leaves of that tree are the Vedic hymns. And the roots go up, but there's also roots going down that are being nourished by the fruit of activities in the human world, manushya loke. And no one can perceive the form of the tree in this world. It has where it begins, where it ends, where it comes from. But Krishna says, one has to, with the weapon of detachment, sangha shastrena dridhena chitva, one has to very determinedly cut down the tree. And then, having done that, one has to search out that place from which one never returns once one goes there. And there, surrender to the Supreme Person. Right? Chadyang purushang prapadye yatak pravritik prasritas purani. And he says that that place where from which never returns, it's not illumined by sun or moon or fire or electricity. It's self-illuminated. And that when one goes there, one never returns. And that's his abode. And Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that one should be captivated by this information that Krishna has that supreme abode. We have to hear about that. This Brahma Samhita is an especially nice scripture because there's so much description of the different graded realms, Devi, Mahesha, Hari, Dhamasu, and also Krishna's own abode, where he appears as Krishna with the flute, with this special sweetness in Goloka. And there's a lot of description of Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, there's a lot of description of Vaikuntha, and there's also description of Krishna's pastimes on earth. But not so much this distinction between the opulence of Vaikuntha and then this special spiritual planet where Krishna's pastimes are eternally manifest. But that's described here in this Brahma Samhita scripture and in other rare places, like Bhaktisiddhanta is quoting the Chandogya Upanishad here, where at least where it's describing how there's a variety in the spiritual world. So we have to be captivated by the information of the spiritual world of Goloka. Srila Prabhupada named his magazine Back to Godhead. And we should be captivated by that idea that that's where our real life is. Materialists don't know anything but this world. And they scoff at the idea, the atheists, they scoff at the idea of another world and of things that they can't understand, poetic things that sound to them like, you know, they want to be hard-nosed realists. And they don't understand these beautiful... This is the greatest poetry that we're reciting. We get to recite every Saturday morning. But they don't get to know of this real, original home where we really belong. And that's with Krishna. With the flute, with the peacock feather. And more than that, Bhaktisiddhanta is also alluding here to the secret meaning of this one line. Chidanandang jyotik param api tadasvadyam apicha. And he's showing that this line actually refers to Lord Chaitanya. How Lord Krishna, in order to taste his own sweetness, and the bliss that Radha feels when she loves him, and the glory of her love, to taste those three things, Krishna himself assumes the form of Lord Chaitanya. Because this verse is indicating that Krishna himself, the supreme entity, is also enjoyed, is also tasty, the object of enjoyment. Or he also enjoys that. That is, that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and then the devotees are his enjoyed. The supreme devotee is Radharani, and but then he also enjoys himself in the mood of Radharani. And that's the supreme, that's a higher enjoyment. So this verse has that special quality that he's revealing here. So we should be captivated by this information that there's a spiritual world, Krishna's abode. And we can, by living our life and meditating on Krishna, we can transfer ourselves to that abode. We don't have to even wait until we die. The verse is there in the Nectar of Instruction. Tishtan braje tadanuraga jananugami. Advanced devotees, they can live in Braja by always remembering Krishna. By you hear about Krishna's name, chant his name, serve him with your body, go on with your duties, but use everything to serve Krishna. And your remembrance of Krishna can become so concentrated, I've heard, not that I experienced, but that's described in Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada is quoting in Nectar of Instruction one long passage from Bhaktisiddhanta. This is the essence of all advice, that in that way you live in Braja, and you meet the devotees that are there, and you take shelter of devotees, and you learn from them, follow in their footsteps how to serve Krishna in that mood. So anyway, that's for us now. We work on sadhana bhakti, work now samadhi later. But that's being described, that we can actually go to Krishna Loka in that way.